Hello and welcome to the Man Panel 3. I'm so excited that you're here, and my name is Michelle Marchant Johnson. I'm your host for this event, and I'm so excited to welcome a special guest with us today, and that is Roy Biancalana. Welcome, Roy.
Hey, great to be here, and you pronounced my name right. I love that.
Awesome. So before we get started, Roy, into what I know is going to be an incredibly valuable conversation for our audience, I want to just share with them a little bit more about you, and then we'll get started. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. Roy Biancalana is a certified relationship coach, a TV personality, and the author of two books, the latest of which is a number one bestseller, Attracting Lasting Love, Breaking Free of the Seven Barriers That Keep You Single. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today. For the past 10 years, Roy's mission has been supporting single people in the art of attracting and creating conscious, lasting relationships. He offers a complimentary 30-minute coaching session to anyone interested in working with him. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of our interview, but you can also learn more about him by visiting coachingwithroy.com. So Roy, before we kind of jump into our main content about the seven things that tend to keep people single, tell us a little bit about your own journey, how you got into coaching per se, what led you to do this work that you now do in the world?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because my work as a coach and an author and all of that, it really springs out of my own experience. So, you know, what I do has not been something I've chosen because it's a good business. It's almost chosen me because of the things that I've been through. And I guess what I mean by that is my work as a coach is really focused on what are, you know, if you're not in the relationship that you want to be in, and I was not in the relationships, plural, that I wanted to be in, my focus is to look at what are you doing to sabotage yourself? What are the barriers that you're putting up to really connecting with someone, attracting someone, and making something last? Because what I found, Michelle, is there's like two ways you can go with this discussion, and they're both valuable, although I've only found this one really works better, is that either you're going to focus on the outside, like what do I need to learn about dating, relationships, or men? Like I lack knowledge, so I need to learn about men, women, dating, relationships, or I need to know where to go or what to say or what to wear, how to flirt. All of that stuff, which is okay, but it's more external stuff. The other way is to look more about what you might be doing to sabotage yourself. Yeah. And the reason why I think that's valuable is because if you are believing something about yourself, if your attitude is a certain way, if your energy, masculine or feminine, is sort of stuck in a certain way, if you're used to relating with a certain pattern, if you've got stuff on the inside going on, it doesn't really matter where you go, because wherever you go, there you are.
Right.
You could go to a, you know, like Tom Cruise said in Top Gun, a target-rich environment, right? You could go to a place where there's lots of available people, like really great. But if you've got a barrier or something going on inside of you, you know, you're going to resist love. You're going to keep it from happening. So my work is more about cleaning out the inside, removing anything that you could be unconsciously doing or believing or acting in a way that's sabotaging you. Removing the barriers, then love flows and life unfolds the way it's going to unfold and it's mysteriousness. But love is the nature of reality. There are good single people everywhere. Okay. So once you're not sabotaging yourself, you haven't. You know, the real opportunity, right? And the reason why I discovered that is because I was the king of sabotage. I was the king of putting up roadblocks to relationships. So my story basically is that I was married for 19 years. It was kind of a platonic co-parenting functional relationship, but it really wasn't much man-woman. It was more like brother-sister. It was, we didn't fight much. We didn't have much sex. We didn't have a whole lot of passion. We just did life together. And that got old for both of us, especially me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through a divorce. And of course, I rebounded immediately into the dead opposite kind. Like right. All sex, all chemistry. And it was, for me at the time, it was great to go from compatibility and functionality to heat and sex and passion and all of that. Like, we ended up getting engaged. And 6 months before the wedding, she dumped me. And that destroyed me. Okay? So much so that I went, like, I would say it was like a 1 year long midlife crisis. And in that process, of course, to try to get over her, I did the smart thing, which is I started dating other women. And I'm kidding. But I joined all these other dating sites to try to find someone to forget about her, to help me get over it. And that doesn't work. You know, I was just using these other women to try to help me get over my pain and just distract me from all that. And so I really wasn't present with them. I really wasn't available with them. So in the process of all that and being in all that pain, a friend of mine said, you probably need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I had been successful professionally, but personally, I was a disaster. Right? I had the divorce. I was dumped. I had all this online drama because those women I met online, because of the condition I was in, I attracted all the wrong things and sabotaged all that. So I started working with a coach. And what I discovered was that I had some things going on inside of me that were causing all this drama. Mm-hmm. Because up until then, I just really thought I had found the wrong women. You know, I was married to the wrong woman. And then my ex-fiance, well, you know, shit. So I was a blamer. I was a finger pointer. And one day it sort of dawned on me, in all the pictures of my relationships, I'm the only common denominator.
Right.
I'm the only one in every picture. So I was like, maybe it's me. It's like, that was like a lightning moment to me. It was like, could it be me? Maybe they didn't really have the problem. Maybe I was bringing something in here to attract these dynamics and get it. That's what I discovered was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest one was that I didn't feel good inside as a man. I didn't feel okay. I felt sort of empty, lonely. I felt sort of incomplete. And I, because of that, I felt that if I could find the right woman, the right relationship, it would fix that. That it would make me feel like a man. That it would make me feel seen, valued, special, loved, safe, all that kind of stuff. So I discovered that I was relating from the lowest part of myself. I was seeking a relationship for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually wanting a woman to sort of do something for me that she wasn't capable of doing. She wasn't really capable of filling that empty place. She wasn't capable of healing my masculinity. She wasn't capable of making me feel seen. So I had this realization that I had turned a life partner into a life source. I was asking a relationship to do something it was never designed to do and couldn't do. And so I had so much drama because women ended up not fulfilling me, not meeting my needs. They weren't meeting my emotional needs. They weren't there for me in the ways, right, and that I needed and wanted. So they created this sort of drama. So I really came to understand that I had like the you complete me mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I had this belief that I was lacking something and they had the answer and I had to find it. Now, I have found that to be the most common barrier there is. It's the first barrier, is why do you want a relationship? I wanted one because it was going to fix something in me or finish a story or help me find an identity or fill a void. Okay. Mm-hmm. I find that to be almost universally true. That the reason men and women want a relationship in the first place is for the wrong reason. They're in it to get something rather than they're in it to give something. Mm-hmm. And if you seek a relationship because you're lacking and you want to get, you're going to attract someone who also is lacking something and they want to get something from you. So I'm in it to get something from you. You're in it to get something from me. And now we're co-depending on each other. And it creates nightmares and unbelievable amounts of drama. And so I woke up to that. And I remember the exact coaching session that I was in when my coach said, it's like women for you are like, you're like an alcoholic, except women are like a drink with legs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're addicted to them. It's like you need them for, you know, to heal some wound. And that's when I started to see, well, no wonder why I've had so much drama. Mm-hmm. And so I've become a coach because I worked through that. I worked on that. I found how to deal with the inside of me so that then I could be present with the woman. I could give presence and give love. And I wasn't requiring her to do something, to give something to me, to fix something. In other words, I stopped being needy. Mm-hmm. And I dealt with my own loneliness. And I didn't need her to fix that. And that made me be able to relate in a healthy way. Because my relationships were all codependent and unhealthy. And I'm here to say that about 95% of all relationships are codependent. That's what's really going on. If you ask people, why do you want a relationship? Right? The people watching, viewing this, why do you want to attract someone? Any answer you give is the wrong answer. The only healthy answer is there's no answer. I just want to give love. But if you say, I want companionship, I want someone to notice me. I want someone to meet my emotional needs. I want someone to pay attention. I want someone to, you know, you're saying I want someone because I got to get something from them. And as long as you're seeking a relationship to give you something, you're in big trouble. Mm-hmm. So my work is about helping people become more centered and more grounded and getting to the place where it's like, on a deep level, I don't need a relationship. Not for those reasons. I want to give love. I want to share my life with someone, but I don't need someone to make me feel complete. And I beg the viewer, if you're telling yourself, well, I don't either. If you don't, you wouldn't be on this call. If you don't, you would never have any drama in your life. The only way drama comes up in relationships is if you're not doing for me what I want. If I don't need you to be any certain way, if I don't need you to fulfill some need in me, if I don't have any expectations or requirements of you, how can there be drama? So I want to show people on how to have healthy, drama-less relationships if they choose to be in one. And that's my story tied to me and my thing. I'll stop there for now.
Yeah, well, this is such a powerful and profound concept, and it's certainly something we could talk about for the entire interview for sure. But I'm so grateful that you've shared so openly about your own experience and how often and how frequent this shows up, because I agree with you. I think there's so much emphasis in the world, in our industry, so to speak, where there's, you know, the what to say in a text or how to flirt here on all these peripheral things, what to say on a first date, et cetera, et cetera. But this deeper inner work and this deeper exploration, if you will, of some of the things we're talking about today are things that can really open up new possibilities for you. So I think this is really important for those women, especially who are here today, who have been feeling like they're beating their head against the wall and that they've tried everything in terms of the advice out there without having results or without having the experience they're hoping to have in their relationships. So I'm really glad you've opened this, if we call it a nice can of worms. I mean, this is challenging stuff to look at for a lot of people, because it requires a willingness to go deeper and to have self-reflection and honesty and to be honest with yourself, whereas it might be easier not to look at some of this stuff. So that's why I called it a can of worms.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's more challenging work, but the other side of it, the payoffs are unreal. It's sort of like going to the gym. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't like to work out and sweat, but the results, it's like, oh, well, yeah. So that work was worth it, because now look at how I look in this dress or something, right? So it's the results. And it, you know, if you had a lot of drama and difficulty and weird patterns and you're attracting the wrong people and these kind of things, you almost got to get to the point where you're saying, I can't do that anymore. And that's what drives you to go deeper into the answers. Because just because I learn on, you know, where to go on Saturday night, all I'm going to do is attract another one of the same guys and get in the same sort of dynamic. And, oh, I can't do that again. So sometimes the pain drives you to ask the right questions, which is what's going on in here. And then, man, sky's the limit from there. But you do need a coach or someone alongside of you that has sort of taken that trail and sort of knows the pitfalls and the cliffs and a little kind of where to go. And that's why I'm just, I tell people, I'm just like, I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You know, so like, I've been down this thing, and the only thing I have to offer is I figured some things out about this. And the reason why I'm a coach is because the effect that my coach, her name was Diana, years ago, had on me, I came out of that like, I want to be Diana for other people. Mm-hmm. I want to help people see what she helped me see. Because now I'm in a great marriage with an amazing woman, right? I mean, we're fantastic. And it wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't worked the way I did with that person. So I just want to be that now for other people.
Right. Right. So Roy, let's talk a little bit more about some of the other common obstacles or ways that we sabotage our love lives. Right. I know you kind of started with this one, which is definitely a huge piece, but let's talk about some of the other common ones that you have written about and would like to share.
Yeah. Well, one that's very common, and I mentioned about, it came out in my little story, is what I call being incomplete with former lovers. Okay. Think of your heart as like a hotel. It's a love hotel. You got to have vacancy if you want to invite something new into it.
Right.
But the fact of the matter for most of us is we're hung up on the past in some way. In other words, there's somebody still in there, and it's occupying our heart space, and there's no room for someone in there. So the way we're incomplete are two things, and I try to say it playfully because this is such a complicated, gut-wrenching topic, is if you still want to kiss someone from your past or kill someone from your past, you're not complete. Meaning, if you're still wanting someone, you're sort of still in love with someone, you're still missing someone, you're still kind of hung up on them. That's still going on in here. There's no room for someone. That's how I was when I broke up with my fiance. Oh, she was still in there. I hadn't seen her for a while. I wasn't dating her, wasn't talking to her, but she was still in there. Mm-hmm. And I met these other women, and they had no access to my real heart. It was no room at the end. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was not complete with my past to be able to move forward and open my heart and say, I am ready to not relate from you with you based upon my past, to fix my past. You know, it's like the past doesn't really exist. I'm here fresh in the present moment, ready to experience you, rather than I'm looking at you through the lens of all that other crap. Okay. So you can be hung up on someone, or you can still be really bitter about someone. I mean, you can still be angry at them. You can have a lot of hatred and drama. And how many of the people listening here have not been on a date with someone who all they did was talk about what a bitch they were married to,
yeah. right?
So yeah. you know, okay, they're not in love with them. You know they're not still married, they're not with them, but they're still involved because they're still all in the anger of it all and all the, and it's almost like, woo, you're not really ready. So we have to ask ourselves some really hard questions. Am I ready to genuinely open my heart in a healthy way to something new? Or do I need to go back a little bit and do a little cleaning? You know, do I need to get the 409 and, you know, spray it in the heart there? And do I need to clean myself up a little bit and work through some things, let go of some anger, let go of some bitterness, truly put a relationship behind me, you know, so we can still be involved physically with people, emotionally with people, logistically with people, and we're still financially tied to them, you know. We're still living in the same house, but we're living separately, you know. So that, one of the barriers is that you're not really ready to open your heart. And mm-hmm. a lot of work I do with my clients is, how do I get over this person that betrayed me and really broke me and really hurt me? And because I'm afraid to open up to someone new.
Yeah.
Either they can't, I won't let them get close, I'm going to get hurt again, or I'm just suspicious and lack trust. Because their past, the baggage is still there, right? So I work people on how to let go of some of that past pain to be fresh and to be open to something new, or to maybe let go of a relationship they didn't want to end, but that person did, and they're still processing that, because I've been through that one. Well, I've been through both, actually. So that's a major issue that takes, I find, some guidance to let it go. And that's a big part of what I do. So that's one of the barriers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. The kiss or kill test.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, so try to keep it playful, so we laugh a little bit. Otherwise we'll just start crying about this stuff.
Right.
But it is possible to let go of that stuff. I mean, the memory's still there, right? And you know, somebody cheated on you, or you know that, you know, you were with that person. You didn't want that relationship to end. Maybe they died. Right. So, you know, we've all heard of stories of someone who has a shrine built to someone in their house, right? And then they're out dating, and then you find out that they got pictures of their dead partner in the, you know, in the house. And, you know, they're not ready yet. They're keeping something alive, and there's no room in the inn. So that's a big one. Yeah.
Right. You care to share a couple more?
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that I call, I use another fun phrase, the relationship Groundhog Day syndrome. Anybody relate to the idea of attracting the same kind of partner and the same kind of problem, the same kind of pain or pattern over and over and over again? Okay. Why do I, even though these guys are different, they're the same guy, you know, even though they're from different areas, it's the same pattern. How do I keep attracting emotionally unavailable or cheaters or some sort of dynamic? And why do I keep getting in the same relationship over and over again? Part of that is the barrier is what's called a relationship persona. Okay, now this is a little complicated, but all of us come up through life and we learn from our childhoods, and I don't care how wonderful your parents were, you develop and you learn a certain way of being that seems to get you more attention and love than other ways. And so you learn through your childhood that if I'm this kind of guy or this kind of girl, ooh, I get better responses. I don't get rejected. I don't get punished. I don't get hurt. People appreciate that. They value that. I feel more connected when I'm this person than that person. So we don't know this is happening when you're 4 and 5, 6 years old. You just start to develop, I'm going to be this kind of person. Now you're 40. And you are just programmed to think, I've got to be this kind of person to connect with others. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily an authentic or healthy thing. Let me give you an example for me. my relationship persona, I actually gave him a name just to make it fun. Okay. He's called Casanova. Casanova for me was a symbol of a man who felt like the only way I can get a woman to want me and like me is if I'm there to light her cigarette, you know, to be right there to take care of her, to meet her needs, to fulfill her agenda. In other words, I've got to be the world's greatest boyfriend in order to get a beautiful woman to give me her attention and affection, right? Now, I learned that from my mother. My mother was kind of a demanding, harsh, kind of critical kind of woman, that the only way you could kind of be in her good graces was to kind of do it her way, mm-hmm. was to make her happy. If mama ain't happy, then nobody's happy kind of thing. So I learned as a little boy who wants to be close to his mother, the way you get close to mom is to kind of distance your own feelings, your own wants. Just don't even pay attention to you and what you might want. What does she want? Take care of her, meet her needs, fulfill her agenda, and then she'll want you. You'll feel connected. Right? Now, I didn't know that I was learning this, but it became the way I learned to relate to women. Your relationship to your opposite sex parent is huge. It's your first boyfriend or your first girlfriend. You learn something. You don't even know you're doing it. So I learned, or almost became programmed, that to get a woman to want me, I had to kind of ignore myself and my own wants. I couldn't show up with what I needed. And it was all about you, baby. Let me take care of you. Mm-hmm. So I was this hero, this rescuer, this caretaker in a way, right? I call it like a hero. And I kept attracting damsels in distress. Women that were pretty successful in their lives, but they were overwhelmed and stressed out with their job and their kids and their house and their life. And they could barely, you know, they were just almost drowning in the complexities of life. And here comes Superboy Roy swooping in, and I will fix it for you. I'll raise your kids. I'll clean your house. I'll empty your garbage. I'll wash your car. I'll do your laundry. I'll massage your shoulders. I will make life so easy for you. I'll take care of you, mommy. I will meet your needs, because it's the only way I thought a woman would ever want me. And so I kept attracting women who were damsels in distress that needed to be rescued. Mm-hmm. I wasn't attracted to high quality women who could manage their own lives and had their quote shit together. I wasn't interested in that. Casanova had to find a woman who was hot, but kind of a mess. And then I could rescue her and take care of her. Right. And then in exchange, of course, she would give me her body because I needed to have all that, you know? So one of the things you have to learn about yourself is, what is your relationship persona? How have you learned that you need to be in order to connect with a man? Mm-hmm. Do you need to be mommy? Do you need to be a rescuer? Do you need to be, I mean, there's so many of them. But that's the questions I want to ask my clients is, tell me about your dynamics. Tell me about your patterns. What can you learn from that? So if you have that pattern, then what is that saying about you and the way you believe you have to be? So then the work is, can I let go of my Casanova persona? That's not necessary anymore. Maybe it was necessary when I was 7 to be close to my mother, but it's not necessary when I'm 47 or 57. Mm-hmm. What's my authentic self? How can I be real with a woman? How could I show up and say, this is what I want, what I need, what do you need, what do you want? How could we have a kind of an equal, respectful, not codependent relationship? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's another huge question. So it's that you complete me mindset. It's being complete with former lovers. It's understanding and letting go of your relationship persona. Okay. That's another huge one. And then we can talk about all kinds of masculine, feminine stuff. Those two energies are so misunderstood. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, we could spend hours on that. They're very misunderstood. But those are the kind of things that I work on with my clients. In my mind, that's what makes a difference. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing that, then what happens is, like, no wonder why I keep attracting that certain kind of guy. Like, emotionally unavailable guy, because my dad was never available, and I kind of had to chase him around to get any attention. No wonder why I keep chasing men that just don't want to be caught. You know, it's not really the men. What I learned is because I was Casanova, I had to find a damsel. It's the only woman he would go, it's like cookies and milk. They go together. I physically wasn't attracted to women who had their shit together because they don't need me to take care of them. So I didn't feel anything. But that woman who needed taken care of, that was sort of a damsel in distress, oh man, did I feel chemistry there. She fits my wheelhouse. So when you get these sort of patterns of unavailable men or players or certain dynamics, you can work back from the dynamic and say, what must be happening in me that I'm drawing that into my life? Because mm-hmm. that's what's happening. You are mystically, magically requiring men to be a certain way to fit with your persona. Mm-hmm. And what I describe to me is very common in women too. I call it the Florence Nightingale syndrome.
Yes.
They're like a nurse. Why do I keep attracting men who are broken down and need fixing? You know, they're good looking, they're nice, but they don't have a job, they're in a tough place, they got all these problems. Yeah, because you want to patch them up. You learn maybe as a little girl that the way I get love is by taking care of others and fixing problems and rescuing and caretaking and mothering and nurturing. So if you're a nurturer or caretaker, you need a man who's falling apart. Otherwise, it won't work.
Right.
Right. So that's how you get out of attracting those kinds of men, is you let go of that nurturing, mothering, caretaking thing that you think you have to do. Because the more grounded you are, you're not attracted to the guy who's broken. You're a big boy, fix yourself. I don't want to get involved in that. But that guy who has his shit together, that before you felt like, I got nothing to offer him. He doesn't need taken care of. Now you're going to find more attraction to a higher quality guy. Because you never attract a relationship. Listen to this one. You never attract a relationship healthier than you are. It can never exceed your level of consciousness. So if you're in some persona, you will attract persona relationships where he's doing the same thing, you know, because I was a hero and she was a victim, and you know, yeah. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, I so resonate with what you're talking about here, because the work that we do with our clients sounds very similar. I spend a lot of time with my clients in exploring the inner side of things. Not just this peripheral stuff, although that can be valuable when with some of the inner stuff has been handled. And one of the patterns I see in my own life, because I didn't meet and marry my husband until I was 43. We've now been
married for me.
Yeah, I've now been married to my husband for 11 years. And I had to go through a very similar journey to what you did, Roy, to get to the bottom of what was going on for me. I had so much self-sabotage going on and shot myself in the foot so many times that I say it's a wonder I can walk, right? I did have some of this Florence Nightingale syndrome that you were talking about too, because I was very successful in my career and I kept meeting these guys that had, you know, a lot of financial need, or they'd fallen on hard times and I would help them and give them money and try to help them get jobs. I mean, it was just this, it's like this savior complex thing that I had going on. And in ways I found it to be really satisfying until I realized how unhealthy it was. And then it got to be so exhausting, not to mention expensive. I mean, financially expensive. Yes. I was literally bankrolling some of these men that I got into relationships with. And that's kind of the extreme of it. But I see this happening so often for women. And I even call this principle unholy giving. That's the term I've called it, because I believe one of our beautiful tendencies of women as a whole, and I'm speaking generally here, is that we do have compassion and love, and we want to give and nurture and support. I think that's part of us, generally speaking. However, if this giving is to the point where it depletes that natural energy of a woman, or it depletes her in a way where it's unhealthy, then it turns into something that I have deemed as unholy. It's not beneficial to the giver, and it's oftentimes even resented eventually by the recipient. I mean, I found that actually some of these guys that I overgave to actually came to resent me because they started to feel like I perceived them as being incompetent or incapable of getting themselves pulled together.
Right. And you remind them of their inadequacy.
Right.
So that is definitely a pattern that you will patch them up, and then they're going to go because you remind them of all their stuckness and everything. Mm-hmm. So when I love that term, unholy giving. I completely agree. In Buddhism, they talk about compassion, and they actually use the phrase idiot compassion.
Right.
That's not my phrase. They actually use that phrase, meaning there's a genuine kind of compassion that supports the growth of others without enabling them, while the other kind is you're caretaking and almost keeping them stuck or seeing them as unable to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it's very common for the feminine. It's changing some, but historically the feminine has sort of been taught to be that kind of unholy giver. Mm-hmm. It's your role is to take care of everybody and give and never think of yourself and, you know, all of that. And it is exhausting, and it doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. It gets us into those very codependent, unhealthy type of relationships that we talked about. And it's this self-sacrifice.
But here's what happens. Thing. Right. Here's what happens. I found once a person sees that I've got that relationship persona, that way of relating, when they begin to let go of it, universally, they're like, I don't even know how to relate if I don't relate that way. I don't even know how to be. I don't even know who I would be if I wasn't Casanova. I have that reaction, like, I don't even know how I'd relate with a woman if I wasn't kind of rescuing her and taking care of everything. And that was the moment of growth. It's like, right, you don't know, because you've been the persona your entire life. So it really is a journey to self-discovery, like discovering what is your authentic self. And that is a really fun journey. Mm-hmm. Who am I when I'm not scared? Mm-hmm. But these personas are built on fear. I'm afraid they won't love me unless I do these things.
Right.
When you're feeling whole on the inside, it all ties together. When you're feeling grounded in who you are and you don't have that you complete me mindset, you're not afraid to be alone. You're not afraid really at all. So now you can just show up authentically. I don't have to be a certain way because I'm not afraid of you not liking me.
Right.
So I can just now be me. But the first step, like, what is that then? And it gets to be a really fun journey to discover who would you be if you weren't scared of losing some person's love or attention or approval. Because you really can't love if you're scared, right? Those are opposite things. Perfect love casts out fear. Even the Bible says that, right? So if you're afraid, you're into manipulation and stuff. So love is no fear. And that's what the journey really is about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of that fear-based stuff comes from that feeling of feeling unworthy of being loved or feeling unlovable, unless we, in your case, you provided everything as your Casanova routine. And in my case, I was doing the Florence Nightingale rescue thing.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think, well, of course they're going to love me because, you know, they can't survive without me.
Yes.
Similar kind of thing. And then it was a shock when I found that some of them actually resented me after all of my saving activities.
Yeah. After all I've done for you. Yeah.
Right. So this has been a really fascinating conversation. I've really, really enjoyed it. I love what you've shared, and I think it's really powerful and will help so many people. And I know that we didn't cover all seven But I know you're offering a copy of your book as your free gift, right? So tell us just a little bit about that. And ladies, you can get this by clicking on the link right underneath the video or audio that you're watching or listening from. But tell us a little bit about it, Roy.
Yeah, it reached number one on Amazon. And the book's title is Attracting Lasting Love, Breaking Free of the 7 Barriers That Keep You Single. So I go into depth on 7 major things I've seen in my life and my clients' lives that are ways that we are self-sabotaging. And it's real clear, it's real fun, it's written in a really understandable way. And it just lays them all out and gives you a lot of practical things to do on how to overcome them. And I just want everybody to have that book. And what I'm hoping is, as people read that, if they want support in applying or working on 1 or 2 or 3 of those barriers, I had all 7 of them, but I was messed up. You know, that you reach out to me. That's what I do. I like to have people that read my book and say, hey, I'm stuck on that one. I need someone to work with me to be complete, to let go of that persona, to work on that you complete me mindset, the masculine, feminine dynamic, and so forth. So my coaching flows out of that work. So read the book, enjoy it. It'll touch you. It'll move you. And if I can be of assistance going forward, you know where to find me. I think the info is on the screen on how to reach out to me. And I'd love to explore a coach-client relationship with anybody hearing the sound of my voice.
Thank you, Roy. Really appreciate your wisdom and your sharing and your wonderful free gift. And ladies, I know we've just touched on the tip of the iceberg of what Roy has to share. And so be sure to get his free book by clicking on the link underneath the video or audio here. And then also be sure to scroll down and check out the VIP package for the Man Panel event, which includes all of the interviews as well as some wonderful bonuses that will help support you on your journey to love. We thank you and honor you, Roy and I, for being here with us today, because this speaks to you and your desire to have an amazing life, an amazing love, and we're here to support you in that journey. And Roy, I want to thank you once again for being here with us. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, you're welcome. I love being a part of this, and I have total respect for people that are here wanting to work on themselves and explore and see what's keeping them from the relationship of their dreams. And I love people that are on that journey.
Thank you. And thank you all once again for being here. We hope you will enjoy more of the Man Panel by joining us once again for the future interviews. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.